Happy Father's Day to those fathers that are here today. We're grateful for you being here. We're grateful for fathers, grandfathers, for staying in there with their children and their grandchildren. So many families today are not families today. They're not the distinctive roles of husbands and wives and mothers and fathers. Too many children being born out of wedlock. Folks are living in sin, living in adultery, rather than taking advantage of the opportunity of marriage, which is the way God ordained the family to live. We have just as big a problem, if not bigger, problem with the living out of wedlock as we do with homosexual and lesbian things that are taught and that are practiced today, because we have far more many people who are involved in this type of sin who are just totally unconcerned about their way of living. We need to try to instill within those that we have influence with the importance of morality, the importance of a difference between right and wrong in our homes, in our families, in our communities. Many countries have been destroyed because of the very thing that's happening in this country. Not that they were attacked and the battle was won from without, but that they decayed from within. We find a lot of that happen, and not total gloom and doom, but we need to be aware of it, because inch by inch it creeps in. And if we don't start making some inroads into this gross immorality that we're finding, we're going to wake up one day and it'll be too late. So we just alert you to that. We know that you are aware of it, but sometimes we become aware of things. We become too casual in those things because they so permeate society around us. We're continuing our study this morning in the book of John. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel according to John, or the Gospel account according to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are different, written by different men, guided by the same Holy Spirit, and have different ways of reporting some of the same things and some things that are not the same, but all about Jesus, about his birth, his coming, and then his birth, his life, his teachings, his miracles. Book of John in chapter 20 of that book, in verses 30 and 31, sets forth his purpose. It said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Purpose of these series of lessons, that we might become better acquainted with the life of Christ, that we might become better acquainted with his teachings, that we might become better acquainted with the claims that he made. He claims to be the Son of God in this book. And John seeks to reveal those things to us that will be evidence, that will be proof, positive, to us and any reasonable person, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he is the only source today of salvation to everyone and to anyone who will believe in him and follow up on that belief with obedient faith. The book of John has 21 chapters. Today we'll be studying from chapter 11. Some might say, well, we're halfway through the ministry of Christ. Well, that would be wrong. Today we'll be talking about the resurrection, or the raising of Lazarus from the dead, a good friend of Jesus. Lived in a town named Bethany, just outside the city of Jerusalem. And we are only in the chapter 11 of a 21-chapter book. But in chapter 11, verse 55, we have these words. written by John. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. This was the last Passover that Jesus would keep while he was here upon earth. In chapter 12 and verse 1, this chapter begins with these words, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." So Jesus would soon be riding into the city of Jerusalem for what some have referred to as his triumphal entry into the city. Jesus, who had long said, "My hour is not yet come," will now say in the 12th chapter, verse 23, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Coming soon would be the following events and happenings. Jesus' Last Supper with his 12 apostles. His acknowledgement of the betrayal of Judas, and the mentioning of the recording of the denial of the fact that Peter will deny him 3 times. During this last 2 weeks of his life, we have Jesus' prayer for unity among the believers. During this same 2 week period, we have his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, there where he goes with his apostles to pray. We have the kiss of betrayal that comes there. The kiss of betrayal by Judas. And later that night, on a Thursday night of his last week on this earth, the mock trials, or last week of his life, and the mock trials that Thursday night culminated in his sentence of death as he was crucified upon the cruel cross of Calvary on that Friday morning. And all of this would take place within a period of about 2 weeks. And John takes a lot of time and a lot of the space within his writing for this short period of time, but very meaningful period of time during the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. This morning we want to talk about a statement made by Jesus in John chapter 11, 25. Jesus, according to the first few verses of chapter 11, has heard about his friend Lazarus being sick. Lazarus lived in the town of Bethany. His sisters Mary and Martha lived there. And they had sent a messenger to Jesus. Verse 3 of John 11 says this, "Therefore his sisters said unto him," or sent unto him, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So Jesus was let know, he was sent a message that said that his great friend, his close friend Lazarus, was sick. And likely the place that Jesus was in fact, just before this in chapter 10, Jesus is in an area beyond Jordan, in the place where John at first baptized. And it's likely if you got a map in your mind of the Palestinian area, Sea of Galilee is a blob up here to the north. The Jordan River is a little trickle going, it's a big trickle, but it's, in my mind, it's a little trickle because I got a little mind. Anyway, there's a little line going down from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea or the Great Salt Sea. And over on the right-hand side, or the western side, of the eastern side, rather, of that river is an area called Perea, east of the Jordan River. And it's likely that's where he is. And the message that Jesus received was about the sickness of Lazarus. And simply stated, they said that, you know, the one you love is sick. Why would they send this message? Well, they felt like Jesus would want to be there. And I think being a close friend, he would want to be there. Likely, also, they had heard about Jesus' miracles healing the sick. In fact, back in the 4th chapter of the book of John, Jesus had healed a man who had been sick, the nobleman's son, and he healed him from a distance. So maybe Jesus was coming into, would be there, or would just heal him from afar. And that would be the way that he would respond to this message that his friend was sick. Would he heal him from afar? Or would he go there and take care of it once he arrived? Perhaps he would rush to the friend's side and there he would provide a concoction of some sort that would give a visual aid to the healing of this man, so they would all know that there had been a miracle accomplished. And Jesus did neither. Jesus did neither. He did not hurry to the man's side, nor did he heal him from afar. So his response was different from the response that was expected. But Jesus had a little different outlook on things than man does. To the family and friends of Lazarus, the sickness of Lazarus was a growing threat to their brothers and to this friend of theirs' life. I mean, his life could be ended by this sickness, and then it would all be over. But to Jesus, that would not be the case. Oh, they had seen him heal people, so that's what they expected. But Jesus could go beyond that with his powers. Jesus actually delayed leaving the area that he was in for a period of 2 days. And by the time that Jesus got to Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had lain in the grave for 4 days. He'd been in the grave in a cave for 4 days. Now, prior to learning from Bethany, or prior to leaving for Bethany, Jesus had made some statements to his apostles concerning his beloved friend. Look at John 11, verse 4. This is right after he heard that Lazarus was sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, I'm sure nobody understood what he meant by that, or exactly what was going to happen, what Jesus could do about the situation. Surely they would think he's still going to heal him. Look down at verses 11 and 12 of John 11. "These things said he, and after that he had saith unto them," he said, "our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well." In other words, he'd be getting better. Because they thought when Jesus said that he was asleep, that he actually meant he was physically asleep. But as we go down to verse 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Lazarus is dead. But then he made a very unusual statement after that. He said, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe." Now, they still don't know exactly what he's talking about. Because at this point, they've seen him perform various miracles. But they've never seen him perform the miracle that he knew he could perform. And a miracle that was going to have to be performed to show the power of God, because not too many days hence, Jesus would be in a tomb with a rock or stone rolled up against it. And then there would come reports not too long after that he has arisen from the dead. He's no longer there. What would they think then? Well, their minds are being prepared for that even now. Some have thought, well, maybe as they read this, isn't Jesus being a little bit callous? Isn't he being unsympathetic to the plight of these people? These people are suffering. Lazarus is dead, and the sisters are suffering, and there are many, many friends around, and there's great grief in their house. And their best friend their great friend, their miracle-performing friend, who could heal the sick, had done nothing. Why did Jesus delay? I mean, we saw what he said, that so the Son of God might be glorified. It's difficult to explain. Let's read something else that Jesus says before we get into that thought. Verse 18 of chapter 11. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, or about 2 miles, the marginal reading says. So just a tad outside of Jerusalem. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, here is he coming, he's coming now. She went out and met him. She didn't stay back at the house. She went out to meet Jesus, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. You could have healed him. You could have healed. Where have you been? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And she doesn't know yet what powers Jesus has. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come in this world. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. But she was still confused. She did arrive at the conclusion that you're the Christ, the Son of God, but it had all not been put together yet. Seeing is believing sometimes. Seeing is believing sometimes. And we have their record. We have eyewitness account here. You say, well, that's the Bible. This is history. This is history of that period of time. Many people throughout the world believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he lived upon this earth, that he walked upon this earth. Well, where do we read about that? In the Bible. Many believe that from the Bible. Many don't believe all they need to believe from the Bible because they don't want to believe what they read from the Bible. So, back to Jesus' delay in responding. Jesus is human, but he has supernatural powers. And thus far, he's changed water to wine. He's healed a man that's been blind from birth. He's healed a man that has been an invalid from birth. And he's done other miracles. He's walked on water. He told a lady about all the husbands that she had, much about her life. But Jesus knows something else about his power and the power of God. He knows that he has complete mastery of death. And he knows that that has to be proven. That folks need to believe that. That people need to believe that. Had he been only a human, he would have hurried to the bedside of Lazarus, as you and I would have done, and we'd have done what we could. We'd have put a cold wash rag on his head or done whatever we could to give some aid and comfort. And if Jesus could perform only the miracles that he'd previously performed, he would have healed this man, likely. But Jesus chose at this time that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, he knew that he was the resurrection and the life. That's what he told Martha. That's what he would later tell Mary. And it was just as easy for Jesus to say, Lazarus, rise from the dead, as it was to say, Lazarus, rise from your bed. And it was actually far more necessary at this period of time than raising him from that bed. Raising him from the dead was far more important to the purpose at this time. For not too many days, as I mentioned a while ago, these disciples, this family, would be faced with those trials that Jesus would be going through, though they were mock trials. The persecution as he was beaten, he'd be put upon the cross, and they'd see him die there. They'd see his body taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And some would see him being placed into a barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Rolled the stone there that nobody could get to it. It was sealed, Roman sealed. And many just walk off. Some were anxious to see if his promise of resurrection would come about. But there would be reports after Jesus' death, several reports of him being raised from the dead, of him being seen after coming out of that tomb, seen alive. So the raising of Lazarus was the ultimate of miracles. For how would the disciples face what they soon must face had they never faced something similar to it before? Had they never seen proof and evidence of the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ in the resurrection of the friend Lazarus? And we know that many believed as a result of this miracle. And that it was a miracle, you know, that it was not a miracle that couldn't really be proved. I mean, the man had been in this cave 4 days. The sisters cautioned him, or the people there cautioned him, and said, you know, I wouldn't go near that grave. He's been decaying for 4 days. There would be an odor. But Jesus went there anyway. They took away the stone from the place where he was dead. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Believe. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. And they were in disbelief. Wrong. Wrong. This man had been dead. This man was now alive. Brother, it's told of the story of Brother Keeble, Marshall Keeble, great Negro preacher, a number of years ago. He said, you know the reason that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? He had not said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody in the grave would have come forth. He has the power to do that. One of these days, we've been told, we've been promised that we will come forth from the grave. Here is our hope. Here is our proof positive. Witnessed by many people. By many people who could have cared less whether Jesus could raise him from the dead or do any other thing. Some of them, let's read verse 45 and 46 of John 11. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Believed on him. Son of God is being glorified. Son of God is being glorified. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. They didn't go lie about it. They knew a miracle had been done, even though they didn't want to believe in Jesus Christ himself. They went and told the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, they didn't say, you've got to be kidding. Get out of here. No, they believed too. They believed what these individuals said, and they wanted to do whatever they could do after then to get rid not only of Jesus, but why not do away with Lazarus too? And they believed. That was the purpose of it. That was the purpose of raising him from the dead. Or would some have believed in Jesus had he only healed him? Yes. But there was a greater belief. There was something that was within the fiber of each one of these individuals, these disciples, that there was a greater faith now. And they were going to need that greater faith. They were going to need that greater faith. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus would later tell them. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house had many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah, you got to be kidding. You're not. Well, he did raise Lazarus from the dead. He could be going to prepare a place for you. The disciples had a lot to learn, didn't they? They had a lot to learn. They only had a few days for Jesus to cram something like correspondence courses into their mind, etch it into their brains. Disciples had much to learn. In their minds, they had to really believe that Jesus was a resurrection life. Jesus could raise his friend from the dead. Jesus could one day raise us from the dead. Jesus, who promised eternal life, could fulfill it. He could fulfill what he had promised. Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, was now standing before these people alive. I was reading one man's comments. Said if this had not been the Holy Spirit recording this event, there would have been pages and pages and pages of information. They would have interviewed people, and they would have just gone on and on with proof, 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 and evidence, evidence, evidence that this thing had happened, that this great miracle had occurred. But John records it as it happened, as he's directed by the Spirit of God, and it was proof positive enough for them that Jesus did what he said he could do, and therefore he can do for us what he says he can do for us one day. I mentioned in Bible class this morning, we think of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians as the chapter of love in the Bible. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13. And we think of the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as being the faith chapter of the Bible. A lot of times we think of 1 Corinthians 15 as being the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And I thought, well, you know, that's really the hope chapter of the Bible. Because if he cannot raise us from the dead, if he did not raise Lazarus from the dead, if God did not raise him from the dead by his power, then how do we know he can raise us from the dead when our time to be raised at the last day comes? Well, we know it because we have proof. We have evidence. Christian evidence is here in God's Word that says what God has promised God can do. How do I know? Because he's already done it. He has power over death, power over the grave. Jesus said he would overcome both. He did. And he showed that he could do the same for his friend Lazarus, and showed that power that was God power. That was supernatural power. That's the difference between a Christian and someone who doesn't believe in Christ. Christ offers salvation to each one of us. And it's based upon our faith initially. Our faith in Jesus Christ as Son of God, but then a growing faith. A growing faith that leads us to say, what your will is for my life, that's what I'll do. And then we become obedient believers. Faith without obedience is not true faith, if we read our Bibles, especially Hebrews 11. Faith has always entailed obedience. We need to obey Jesus Christ. We need to obey God's will. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? If you have not studied the Bible sufficiently, we'd be glad to study with you. Or get your Bible out and study on your own. But if you come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He is the Son of God, that without Him you have no hope, you're right. The Bible teaches us, though, that we can have hope. That we're not hopeless as those who are without Christ, but that we can have access to Christ by faith. We obey Him as we believe in Him, and based upon that faith, we repent of our sins. We repent of our sins. We turn away from sins. And then we confess Jesus as the Son of God. And then we are baptized as we have repented of our sins, that those sins might be forgiven. All of these are acts of obedience in reaction and answer to our faith. And that's what gives us our hope, that one day He will raise us from the dead as He raised Lazarus from the dead. One day we will be raised from the dead as Jesus was raised from the dead. We've been promised eternal life, John 20, 30, and 31. That's why He said He wrote this book. Many other signs, He said, truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples. That He just left them alone, was not able to put them in the book. But those that He did, He said, that we might have increased faith, that we might believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in Him, we might have life through His name. Eternal life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He later said, no man cometh unto me but by the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father this morning. If you have fallen away and you need to return as the prodigal son did, why not return today to the Father, to Jesus Christ? Why not come today if you have a need, obey the gospel of Christ, or come back to Christ as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation? Shall we stand?